Lesson number 11. This is from the Core Lectures, 1948 Q&A, the next couple are. And so Neville's asked, are earthly things bad? I've been taught not to ask for earthly things, only for spiritual growth, yet money and things are what I need. So here's Neville's answer. You must be honest with yourself. All through Scripture, the question is asked, what do you want of me? Some wanted to see, others to eat, and still others wanted to be made straight, or that my child may live. That was the request. Your dimensionally larger self speaks to you through the language of desire. Do not deceive yourself. Knowing what you want, claim you already have it. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give it to you, and remember, what you desire, that you have. Now think about this. Neville says your dimensionally larger self speaks to you through the language of desire. So there's nothing bad about wanting earthly things. Neville says, he says to notice this. Your dimensionally larger self speaks to you through the language of desire. And he gives examples of people wanting many different kinds of things. So what I'd suggest that you do, and you're going to hear this through different lectures of Neville's. Number one, always have a strong desire for truth. Truth being seeking out the truth about the kingdom of God and the truth about you. Always seek out a more firm understanding of that. Because when you get that you are greater than any state that you have stumbled into or that you choose currently, you get that you are your own source of happiness. You are your own source of power. And so when you get that, you're going to notice that money and wealth and health and relationships all become much more natural. See, it's okay to be healthy. It's okay to be wealthy. It's okay to choose the state that you want to live from instead of just falling into one by default or getting sucked into one by watching the news. But the key point of the story, one of the key points of Neville's methods, is to realize and remember you are greater than any state. You are consciousness. You are the imagination. And is it okay to ask for earthly things? You betcha. Yeah, Neville had no problem there. Lesson 12, something for nothing. So the question is, isn't there a law that says you cannot get something for nothing? Must we not earn what we desire? Neville's answer, creation is finished. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The parable of the prodigal son is your answer. In spite of man's waste, when he comes to his senses and remembers who he is, he feeds on the fatted calf of abundance, and he wears the robe and ring of authority. There is nothing to earn. Creation was finished in the foundation of time. You, as man, are God made visible for the purpose of displaying what is, not what is to be. Do not think that you must work out your salvation by the sweat of your brow. It is not 4 months until the harvest. The fields are already white. Simply thrust in the sickle. Now think about this. You can manifest a new job or vocation. And in fact, I'd strongly suggest that you do that if that's what you want. It feels good to receive wealth for doing something that you're passionate about, something that you love. You can also win raw wealth, financial gifts, stock market gains, lottery winnings. Think about this. All wealth is a gift. There are people who work hard who receive very little. And there are people who work hard who are paid rather well. See, all you receive is a gift of grace. So let me share a little one of my stories with you. When I started teaching martial arts, I didn't want to be paid. Eventually, I chose to let them pay me $4 an hour at the local YMCA. And that was fun because I enjoyed teaching. But one day I woke up and I realized that I could teach a whole lot more if I allowed myself to be paid a lot more. So I started charging $30 and up for private lessons. And what happened was that freed up my time so I didn't have to work other jobs. And so I could teach more and get more paid classes. See, I realized that my passion for martial arts was a gift. And so was my teaching ability. And so the other gift was also the payment for teaching. So holding that in mind, You know, that my skill in the martial arts was a gift that I explored and developed. My teaching ability was a gift that I explored and developed. And getting paid for teaching, again, that was a gift that I could explore and develop. And all three of those allowed me to experience much joy and a lot of grace while teaching. Lesson 13, how did Neville pray? The question was asked, what is your technique of prayer? Neville says, it starts with desire, for desire is the mainspring of action. You must know and define your objective, then condense it into a sensation which implies fulfillment. When your desire is clearly defined, immobilize your physical body and experience in your imagination the action that implies its fulfillment. Repeat this act over and over again until it has the vividness and feeling of reality. Or condense your desire into a single phrase that implies fulfillment, such as, thank you, Father, isn't it wonderful, or it is finished. Repeat that condensed phrase or action in your imagination over and over again. Then either awaken from that state or slip off into the deep. It does not matter, for the act is done when you completely accept it as being finished in that sleepy, drowsy state. So Neville says we have to identify what do we want. We don't want to be too vague. We don't want to be too detailed. You want to define it at a level that makes it feel real for you. And for each of us, that's going to be a little bit different. But you'll know when you get to the right level of detail because you will feel it real. You'll feel a shift in your energy. So once we do that, we want to create a single act that involves a physical sensation that shows us that it is real. Now, when I was younger, I used the same belt on my karate uniform all the way from the beginner white belt ranks up until the advanced brown ranks. That was about 4 years. When I got my first black belt, I bought a new thicker belt. And long before I got my first black belt, I felt myself tying that heavy, thick black belt around my waist, around my uniform. And in my imagination, I felt how that belt supported my body. I felt how strong and how solid it was, how thick it was compared to my old one. And that, again, that was an act that implied that I had received my first black belt ranking. So do this for your desired. And again, once you feel it real, sleep and walk in the sensation, knowing that the wish is fulfilled and that absolutely nothing can stop it. Lesson 14. The question, if security came to me through the death of a loved one, did I bring about that death? Neville's answer, do not think for 1 second that you brought about a death by assuming security. The greater you is not going to injure anyone. It sees all, knowing the length of life for all. It can inspire the other to give you that which can fulfill your assumption. You did not kill the person who named you in his will. If, a few days after your complete acceptance of the idea of security, Uncle John made his exit from this three-dimensional plane and left you his estate, it is only because it was time for Uncle John to go. He did not die 1 second before his time. However, the greater you saw the lifespan of John and used him as a way to bring about the fulfillment of your feeling of security. The acceptance of the end wills the means toward the fulfillment of that end. Do not be concerned with anything save the end. Always bear in mind the responsibility to make it so is completely removed from your shoulders. It is yours because you accept it as so. So Neville says, do not be concerned with anything but the end. How it happens, when it happens, what people have to do to make it happen, that is not your concern. That is not up to you. Now notice this. Neville defines the end in this story as the feeling of, let me get the word exactly right here, the feeling of security. It's not even the amount of money that was defined. It was the feeling of security. And again, if we're going to experience more wealth and more prosperity, it's not just numbers on a balance sheet. The big thing is the feeling behind it. How do you feel knowing that you have more money than enough? How do you feel knowing that you that the estate that you have amassed will impact your community in so many beautiful, positive ways. And again, once you do that, accept it as so. Don't be concerned with anything except the end. Accept that feeling of security. Accept that understanding that the estate that you've amassed in your lifetime will benefit your family, your friends, your community. You know, define what security means to you. Define what wealth means to you through feeling, not just numbers. And it will be amazing how that changes your life. Lesson 15. I am contemplating a business venture. It means a great deal to me, but I cannot imagine how it can come into being. Neville says, you are relieved of that responsibility. You do not have to make it a reality. It already is. Although your concept of self seems so far removed from the venture you now contemplate, it exists now as a reality within you. Ask yourself how you would feel and what you would be doing if your business venture were a great success. Become identified with that character and feeling, and you will be amazed at how quickly you will realize your dream. The only sacrifice you are called upon to make is to give up your present concept of self and appropriate the desire you want to express. So Neville brings up some very powerful stuff here. Trying to imagine how it will happen or when it will happen, that's a great way to insulate yourself from the feeling of it happening. That will actually block it. Allow yourself to feel the freedom, to feel the fulfillment, to feel what it's like to live the role of that businessman. Identify with the character you choose to be, the one who will bless many. Identify with being that strong, successful businessman. And do it to the point that your decisions, so that your actions, so that your reactions to the world become those that a strong and successful businessman makes. Everyone is blessed by this. Assume the power that you truly are. Lesson 16. How could one who was deprived in his youth become a success in life? Neville answers, we are creatures of habit, forming patterns of the mind which repeat themselves over and over again. Although habit acts like a compelling law which drives one to repeat the patterns, it is not a law, for you and I can change the patterns. Many successful men, such as Henry Ford, Rockefeller, and Carnegie, were deprived in their youth. Many of the great names in this country came from poor families, yet they left behind them great accomplishments in the political, artistic, and financial world. He says later in the same lecture, my friend took this message to heart and began to assume he was a successful businessman. Today he is truly a big man if you judge success by dollars. He now employs over 1,000 people in the city of New York. Each one of you can do what he did. Assume that you are what you want to be. Walk in that assumption, and it will harden into fact. Remember, we are creatures of habit, and we tend to behave as if our habits are law. The key is you can change your patterns, and this always begins by changing the pattern of what you imagine, because changing what you imagine changes your body, your behavior, and the rest of the physical universe. Remember, you aren't your body and you are not your behavior. Those are both the expressions of the life force that you are. And next, I want you to look at the list of names that Neville shared above and realize that each and every one of those men used the wonderful power of the human imagination and they changed history. Now it's our turn. You can turn your assumption into fact by walking in the state of the wish fulfilled. Okay, we're switching lectures now. This is lesson number 17 from Esau and Jacob. Here's an exercise that I found very helpful. At home, where I know what every part of a given room looks like, I sit in a chair facing one wall. With my eyes closed, I look ahead and see not the wall that's in front of me, but the one that is behind me. I see that the wall in my mind's eye is now in front of me, that the room has reversed itself, or I have reversed myself. Throughout the whole Bible, there is this tone of reversibility. I discovered, as I read it, that it means this. So I see what is behind me as if it were in front of me. And that's from Esau and Jacob. So one of the things that I want to share in this tiny little lesson here is how exercises like this one teach you how to move inside your mind without attachment to results. You'll notice in this exercise, like many others that we share that we derive from the Neville Goddard lectures, that they have nothing to do with your end in mind. They're simply designed to help you loosen up your mind so that you can explore the power that you are. Now, when you're doing this exercise, and you'll read where Neville shares some of this as well, one day you might be surprised to notice details in the room that your physical eyes have missed. And moments like that are truly life-changing because they reveal to you that you truly are consciousness and that you are in no way limited to the body. And that's where the real fun begins. Remember, all of this is about, you know, while we're here, while we have these physical bodies, let's enjoy them. Let's create a world that's beautiful, that's abundant, that's healthy, wealthy. And while we're doing that, we're learning, we're remembering what we truly are, which is the sons of God, which is consciousness, which is the imagination. So enjoy the adventure, enjoy the ride. Lesson number 18. This is another helpful exercise, again from Esau and Jacob. Here's another exercise. I would sit physically in my living room in New York City and assume I was actually standing on the street in front of my apartment house. And standing there on the street, I would see the details on the marquee of the building. Physically, I was in my living room on the 16th floor, but in my imagination, I was on the street and I was seeing it. Then, still in my imagination, I would walk back into the building, come upstairs, and sit down where Esau was. That's his body. And the next time I actually did go out and took Esau, the body, when I reached the street and looked up at the marquee, I saw on it what I had not noticed the last time that I looked at it physically. Now, keep in mind, this is a little bit more advanced compared to the exercise in lesson 17. And if you don't first succeed with this one, that's all right. Sometimes people put pressure on themselves to prove that they're more than their physical body, or whenever they change perspective, not just by turning around, but by moving a distance. That's fine. It's all natural. But we just make it harder. Remember, there's no order of difficulty in miracles. You know, any focus on limitation is a focus on limitation. If you focus on a little limitation or a big limitation, it's all focus on limitation, and that's fine. You know, when you start having these breakthroughs, you know, you realize that it's just as easy to see what's behind you as it is to go a block out and look and see what's there. So have fun just discovering what's possible for you. Have fun noticing that you are consciousness and you're not limited to the body or the senses of the body. And just enjoy what you learn. Again, this is all about waking up and discovering how marvelous you are while you use, you know, what you're learning here to, you know, create the fortune that you want to have. Lesson 19. This is again from Esau and Jacob, and the question is, are you Esau or Jacob? Neville says, every Esau has to serve Jacob. If you find Jacob and you dwell in the state and become completely absorbed in it, all Esaus have to serve you to fulfill that state, and no power in the world can stop it. Read that carefully. You shall live by the sword, and you shall serve your brother. Esau and Jacob. Now Esau is the body, and Jacob is the imagination. So as we explore these lessons from Esau and Jacob, again, I just want you to notice how Neville continuously refers to this. There's a little more section I want to read here. This is still in lesson number 19. Neville says, so tonight, if I could give you my technique in essence, it is this. I sit quietly in a chair. I do not lie down, for that position is associated with sleep. I sit in a chair, and I imagine and become absorbed and identified with whatever another asks of me, as if it were already realized. To me, it is then real, and they are standing before me and telling me the exciting news of having realized their dream. So Neville shares that sitting down while doing sessions is often a good idea. And we agree with that, especially in the beginning, because you need to have a balance of focused attention and relaxation for your sessions to be effective. Sitting tends to be easier for that in the beginning because you can sit and relax and not fully fall asleep. That's also why so many meditation methods, or one of the reasons why many meditation methods are taught in a sitting posture. Because when you lay down, the temptation is to get too relaxed And if you try to do your sessions while moving around, you're probably too attentive. So it's just like graceful movement. A fashion model, a dancer, a beautiful singer all demonstrate grace and beauty that comes from having the exact balance of focused attention and relaxation. Remember, Neville was a dancer, and he knew how to move with grace. He knew how to use his mind gracefully because he had to be able to exert himself and focus 100% while being as relaxed as possible. So he learned literally how to be just at that right state between relaxation and attention to get the results that he wanted. So how can you explore this in your life, this dynamic balance of focused attention and relaxation? Remember, it's not just about the method of sitting down and being still. It's about exploring this finely tuned circuit that you get to become with attention and relaxation. And this is lesson number 20. This is from The State of Vision. This is not a story of a man who was blind, or of two sons that came out of the womb of a woman. This drama unfolds from within. Esau is the world you know by your reason and senses. The room you are now in is your Esau, while your subjective desire is your Jacob. Wearing garments of hair, Esau is the outer objective world, which Jacob, your desire, is seeking to replace. As Isaac, the father, you have the power to give reality to your desired subjective state. Invite it to come near, that you may feel it, to know whether it is as real as your outer world is. Isaac chose the sense of touch rather than of sound, adding to the sense of smell, saying, "You smell like Esau." Using these two senses, Isaac granted Jacob the right to become an objective fact. So when Blake tells us that if we will raise imagination to the state of vision, the thing is done, he is speaking of vision in anyone or a combination of the five senses. So the lesson and takeaway. Esau must serve Jacob. The physical reality must serve your subjective desired. This is one of the prime lessons in all of Neville's teachings, and it's the main focus of several of his lessons, including Esau and Jacob and the state of vision. Too often, we've noticed people make the mistake of letting Jacob, the imagination, serve the world of the senses. Okay, you read the newspaper, and then you start imagining what's happening in there. That's Jacob serving the world of the senses. Remember, Neville's brother Victor would not entertain any arguments about depressions, recessions. He didn't read the newspaper, and he became a wealthy man. Not participating in any imaginal activity that supposed financial lack supported Victor and the rest of the Goddard family in experiencing great wealth. As Neville shares, the outer must serve the inner, but you must be the one that directs the inner to the ends that you wish to have in your life. Like Neville says, the power doesn't operate itself. You set the direction, and you are the one who can choose to sleep and walk from the wish fulfilled.